So I'm recording for right now. So it's okay with me if you record an audio of the lecture yourself, okay, but no videos or photographs in here without written permission of who you're photographing or videoing. That's including me, right? Because people come to class and they expect some anonymity. They don't expect everybody to know that they are here, right? So we got to respect that. Okay, see where my office hours are, the required materials. You have to have these required materials before lab, unless you're going to get an ad code. So if you're scheduled for lab this afternoon at 12:55 and you don't have these materials, got to get to the bookstore and get them. And if you can't, you got to see me sometime. I'm sure there's plenty of materials there. All right, and this is what it looks like. And I gave you the ISBN, the numbers included in that book, our number of things, and the other good thing is the lab manual. You don't have to purchase a separate lab manual. It's included with the custom book package. All right, this is all good stuff for you to read. Attendance, oh, don't ever miss a class, whether it's a lab, especially lab, or a lecture, because you get behind. You don't think you're going to miss material if you miss a lecture, but when you come back after the lecture, you just have this weird sense that you missed something really important, right? So don't miss a class. That's really, really important. So you got lab quizzes, you got lab practicums, right? Weekly online quizzes. When is the deadline for a weekly online quiz? Thursday, 11. Write it on the mirror someplace with a crayon or something so you know what that is. Lecture exams. You'll need a Scantron. Here's the Scantron. It is 882E. 882ES will work just fine. It's just this one right here. You can probably tell by the color of it. There is an 882ES that works just fine. I can run that through the Scantron reader. The reason why I like E is because across the line are letters. And on the test, the answers are by letter, not by number. All right, and the letters are exactly the same. I use uppercase A, uppercase B, no lowercases, in case some people have a trouble telling the difference between a B and a D. A lot of people do, right? So if it's a capital letter, you don't get it mixed up that way. You'll need one of those for each test. There is one called an EZ, 882EZ. Don't get that one because the little bubbles right here are already shaded with an ink, like a ink color, and the Scantron reader has difficulty reading that Scantron, and I don't know what will happen if I can't read your Scantron. Oh yeah, so 882 LOVAS, don't get that one, that's a bad one to get. Grade scale, just 90, 80, 70, 60. I don't know exactly how many points are going to be in the class, so I can't tell you exactly how many points you need for a particular grade, but I can come pretty close if you want to know during the semester, but because I change assignment, I might change the points on an assignment, and it's always just going to be 90, 80, 70, 60 compared to what the total number of points are in the class. Computer policy, if your computer breaks, that's not a reason for extending the deadline for an online quiz. All right, if your internet connection goes down at 10:30 on a Thursday, that's still not rationale for me to let you repeat that quiz. So get these quizzes done well in advance in case you have technical difficulties. You can overcome them before the deadline comes. All right? And that's especially true if you give me an email at 10:55. A lot of times I can't help you at that time. A lot of other good information in the syllabus, all right, which we're going to pass over. Probably none of this is important to talk about right now. So we're going to go down to the schedule. That is important to go over. So here's a schedule for you. This is the lecture schedule. It tells us a little bit about the lab, but not too much. All right, so it's by week, and then we meet twice a week. This week, 26th and 28th. Today, we're going to go over orientation. That's chapter 1. And what pages in chapter 1 are you responsible for? 1 through 13. That's exactly right. Right. So it's all laid out for you. This information is also in every weekly module. You'll see the exact same information. Next time, we're going to start cells, pages 21 through 43. All right, what is the date that you're going to have your first exam? February 18th, okay? And it's highlighted in that yellow because that's a test that you get on a Wednesday. That's a Wednesday test. So some people on Wednesday will have lab and the lecture test. Okay, but the Monday group will just have the lecture. Except on this Monday, because on the 16th, that's a holiday. Right, so you get a little holiday here to study some extra time for that exam. What chapters are on that exam? 1 through 6 minus 3. 3 is not on the exam. So again, that's really easy. It's all laid out. You know exactly when, what material. And then here's something maybe I have to explain. P1 on a Monday, P1 on a Wednesday. This is your first practicum. P stands for practicum. And that's going to be a little bit harder exam compared to a quiz. And so Monday and Wednesday labs are separated, and so you have to take your practicum on your scheduled time. Because if you want to take a practicum in somebody else's class, and that class gets so big that we can't complete the practicum in the allotted time. So you just have to take your practicum. And it takes a long time to set up a practicum, hours. So if you miss a practicum, you're just going to get a zero on a practicum, because nobody's going to come in and set a test up, right? And you probably wouldn't expect anybody to do that either. All right, get a spring break, and here is something you want to pay attention to. So April 20th, is that a Monday or a Wednesday? That's a Monday, and on that Monday you have exam number 3, but the Monday labs also have what? A practicum. So Monday groups will have a practicum and a lecture exam same day. And that is because we're forced to take our last exam on a Wednesday. All right, so the Monday group will have a practicum and lecture exam on the same day, and it doesn't matter if it's a Monday or Wednesday, one time that will happen to you. All right, the other times, it's not on a lecture test day. This material is very similar. Maybe it helps to have a practicum and a lecture exam on the same day. I'm not sure, because it's kind of the same material. But it's good that you know that ahead of time. That's that. And then down over here, we have the lecture schedule with the holiday, spring break, and President's Day in there. We'll follow the schedule when we get into lab. Okay. So, you know the materials. If you can't afford to buy materials, there is, and I have this in the syllabus, there is a Cypress College Foundation. And depending on circumstances, they can loan you money. That's called a bridge loan until your financial aid comes in or bank accounts get straightened out and you can go buy the textbook in the bookstore so you're not without a textbook. And maybe they can even give scholarships or grants. I'm not sure. But go over and talk to people in the CCC complex. I think it's fourth floor. Foundation is the name of that group, right? That helps a lot of students through. All right, so that's the syllabus. Anything else you want to, should I say about the syllabus? Any questions? No? Yes. Okay. In lab, it's fine with me if you use a laptop or mobile device, okay, as long as what you're doing on that device is related to well, I don't know if I should be as broad as that. This anatomy class, okay, in particular. That's fine. And in lecture, you can use a laptop as long as some people, when they type, they're really loud. So if people around you hear that and it really disturbs them, then maybe you have to sit in a different part of the room or not use the laptop. But usually laptops are fine with me. Mobile devices in lecture probably won't work because I can't tell if you're texting or whatever. So laptops are fine. And usually I see a lot of apples running around in the rows over there. Okay, so that's great. Just no pictures or videos without written permission. And you can record the audio lecture if you wish to do that. And since this is a hybrid class, of course, I do want you to use mobile devices and laptops all the time as much as possible, because it's just fantastic, the resources that are online for you, that you'll get points for, and then things just to practice for a lecture exam, which will help you excel in the lecture exam. Yeah, so become familiar with that. While we're on that topic, the weekly online quizzes should be taken only on a laptop or desktop. If you have a mobile operating system or mobile device, you can take the quiz, but Blackboard hasn't figured out that you've actually logged into the system and doesn't know you're taking the quiz even though you take it and submit it. You'll still get a zero. So every time you take a quiz, go into your gradebook, make sure that you got those points that were scheduled for that particular quiz. Right? And usually there's a huge problem with a mobile device even though it looks like it's happening. Right, so I'll have no idea that you even tried to take that quiz. Right? So it's your responsibility to check every single time that you got proper credit. All right, that's it for the syllabus. So you saw me log in, right? Okay, so you know how to log in. That's like the most important thing. I helped one student in lab today, and that's where I can fix things really easy. Or you can email me, either way. All right, so how is the website laid out? Well, some announcements. I might send announcements like, oh, don't forget the figure. It might be on the test, or change the schedule somehow. And you want that information, and in the announcement, it will post it. That's the first page that you always come to. Right, here's the announcement. And usually I click to say, send an email at the same time. Like when I finally graded an exam and put your grades in Blackboard, they send an email out so you can go check. Usually that takes me a couple hours. Pre-lecture reading assignments. You guys did one already. Because I put that as an attachment to the welcome email. And I think you all should know what it looks like. There are a number of them here, one for every lecture, or at least one for every topic in lecture. Okay, so all of these are open to you. You can do all of these as soon as you want. Okay, but you really only have to stay in pace with the class. And this will help you become familiar with, like I said, terminology, maybe some ways of thinking of stuff before the class. That gives you a really nice head start. Students actually love to do these things because that helps them. Okay. I do not grade these. So you don't get course points for doing that. The magic happens when you take the lecture exam, right? Because you're familiar with the material. But since I write the lecture exam, you're probably interested to know what would be my answer for these questions in the pre-lecture reading assignment. And that is available to you. All right, so here are the answer keys to all the pre-lecture reading assignments. All right, so here is introduction, cells, tissues. They're not available until after lecture because I want you to think about the information and not just kind of read it. You got to work with the information somehow before you incorporate it. So the introduction key not available. It will be available after January 26th at 12 p.m. Not quite 12 p.m. yet. All right, so I programmed all of these to open up on the right particular day, like February 11th, 23rd. So then you should go in and check your work. And you might have the right answer for a particular question, but maybe just a little bit different than mine. But which answer do you really want to take with you into the lecture exam? I know I'm really stubborn that way. But I don't know what your particular answer might be, so I'll just stick with my answers, right? So to be really, really precise, look at what I think is a really good answer and maybe look at the difference why you had a good answer, but maybe not quite as good as what I had in this answer key. So do that often. Okay. Here I have a bunch of videos. These you'll use for your practicums, not for your lecture exams. I have videos of every model that you'll be using in class. So that's kind of handy. Exam study guides. All right. When I make up a lecture exam, I go to an exam study guide and I make the exam from the study guide because I like for there to be a nice one-to-one correspondence. It should map very nicely. It tells you what figures I like, which I might photocopy and put on the lecture exam, what end of chapter questions I like, what online questions I like. So you can review and review and review and actually get a lot of feedback before you take the test. So you should have a pretty good feeling on how you're going to do on that particular exam. All right, of course, there's your grades. Maybe most of you have taken an online or hybrid class already or web enhanced. I do not have a supplemental instruction leader for this class, unfortunately, so I don't know if that will change this week or next week. That's unfortunate, but that's the way it goes. For those of you that don't have a textbook, under this button right here, I have the first two chapters, which you can look at. So even if you're not going to buy your book until tomorrow, you can still start reading chapter one and chapter two, right, today. And this is where most of your work will take place. Weekly assignments. All right, so we're going to click into weekly assignments, and you can see there is week one, week two, all the way to week 16. And when I look at this page right here, there is something that jumps out at me. What jumps out at you? A dollar sign. There is an icon. All right, so I put that dollar sign, that icon, in front of everything that's worth course points, which means you got to pay attention to that and complete that assignment, and this just happens to be a chapter quiz. Right, and when you get into subsequent pages, In this particular chapter, there'll be a dollar sign there too, so it's easy to find. It's really easy to navigate to that and complete that assignment. So when is this week one, chapter one quiz due? Thursday, February 5th. All right, so that's actually a little bit more than 1 week because I didn't want to make it this Thursday because I thought it was just a little bit short. People didn't have books yet. All right, then week two, you're going to have a dollar sign, another quiz, but it's the same deadline as the first one, February 5th, right? So there's two quizzes you got to take on the 5th. And you know you got to take this for course points because I see a nice dollar sign right there. If you click into one of these weeks, these are the objectives for this particular chapter. You should read through those. Here are a bunch of interactive exercises, right? Like anterior body regions, all kinds of different, like skulls, eyeballs, brains, whatever. And these are interactive exercises, and you can take these over and over and over and over again until you become familiar with it in just an electronic form. Animations, practice quizzes. I take exam quizzes from these questions, and so you would want to look over here and take these quizzes, and it will be graded for you. That will give you feedback. But do you see a dollar sign here? No, it's not for course points. Right, it's just to help you through the lecture exam, to help you become familiar with the language, right, and knowledge of anatomy. And then here is that quiz. Right, so you click on that, read the instructions. And then after you're done with this quiz and submit it, what's the last step? What is the last step after you complete this quiz? It's kind of almost a trick question because I didn't tell you very much. You should go to your grade book and check, make sure you got credit for it. Okay, always go into gradebook, make sure that the computer knew that you were there working on it. All right, if not, then you have to send me an email. All right, so that's some things about Blackboard, and that's probably all I want to talk about right now. It's only been activated for a couple hours, so probably not many people have moused around in here yet. And the only section that is in this nice fine shape like this is section 22164, which is the Monday lab. And everybody else's website, until I get it straightened out, will look like this. 22165. Oh, that doesn't look too bad. Never mind. 221, let's do 66. Okay, it's just, wow, I was busier than I thought. Or the computer caught up to me. Sometimes I don't know if my programming actually goes through or not. Let's look at 1.7. Am I in the right? Maybe I'm in the wrong semester. Two, two, 1.65, 6.6, 6.7. No, that's the right one. Well, I guess most of those websites are working pretty well, but I'll get everything working later today. All right. Okay, so that is Blackboard. If you can't work online, can't work with Blackboard, or don't want to, then please don't take the class because that's required material. Yeah, question.
The practical quizzes that you just showed us, that's the one you're referring to when
you take. Yeah, let's go back in there. Oh, I'm glad I went back in because there's something else. Okay, so weekly assignments. Week one, or week two, or week three. Kind of the same everywhere we go. So, you're talking about this page right here. Practice quizzes?
No.
Ah, this one here. Okay. Yeah, this is the one. Dollar sign. What does that mean? Got to do it for course points. If you don't do it, it's a zero. Right? So, and you got to do it by the deadline. Deadline is real clear. And you don't want any zeros. It's hard to average a zero back to a reasonable grade. You can get a bad grade on something and average it back up to an A, but a zero is really tough, right? So don't miss any assignments. And your question regarding this page is?
You can take it as many times.
As many times as you want until the deadline, but then zero times after the deadline. And since this is week one, that would be February 5th. That's Thursday, 11 p.m. And so you can take it to get course points. You can take it again and again and again for practice if you wish. All right, so for instance, if you change out computers, change your internet connection, and you're wondering whether or not your computer is going to work with Blackboard or the internet connection, take a quiz that you've already taken. And it doesn't matter if you get a 0 or 100%, right? Because if you got 100%, sometime in the past, it will just store that. But you can double check. You can see all your quiz attempts in Blackboard, right? So you can double check. Yeah.
Is it possible that even like say we want to study for a test that we could go back to these old quizzes and just do them just because?
These will go away on the deadline and they won't come back. However, this one, these quizzes right here will stay there until the test, right? Or until you take a lab practicum. I tried to remember all of those dates. Right, and the, like I said, some of these questions will be on the test, but I don't want to tell you exactly which ones. So you got to study all of these. Some of these questions are very similar. Those are important concepts or important structures that you should know. So those should be there. If for some reason these things go away before a test that you're taking, whether it's a practicum or a test, you got to email me and I'll have to activate it. But my goal was to make it available to you until you're tested on it, both in lecture and on a practicum, or maybe even a lab quiz. Okay. Another question? Yeah. You know, I don't have a wait list for lecture. I don't have a roster for lecture. I only have rosters for labs. Okay. And so there's four labs in here. I've got four rosters, and each one of those rosters has their own wait list. So there are four CRNs, four labs, four separate wait lists for this class. Okay. Unfortunately, or fortunately, I'm not sure, you can only put your name on a wait list for one of those. The computer will let you wait list on one class, but not multiple sections of that same class. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, it's really tough. I'd like to say that. I like to say that the course or the tests are not cumulative, but it is sort of like a math class or a language class. If you forget everything by the first test in the language class and then try to learn stuff in the second part, then you just won't do very well. So technically, it's not cumulative, but you got to still be somewhat familiar with the terminology and structures. Okay, but there's nothing in the study guide specifically. So actually, a better way to answer your question is what's ever in the study guide, because that's what I use to make up the test. And the study guides are there by chapter. Okay, yeah. Final exam is not cumulative. It's just the last exam. There are a lot of chapters, but they're short chapters. I forget, there's 8 or 9 chapters, but they're short chapters. Okay, and they're fun chapters. Okay, that's pretty much it. Any other questions? Excellent. Okay, did all that scheduling stuff. Let's put that away. Let's see what, yeah, hi.
Hi. What's the likelihood of
all depends on no-shows. I had 6 no-shows for the Monday at 8 o'clock lab. That has never happened before. Usually I have 1 or 2 no-shows. So it all depends on no-shows. Sometimes I can add, like today, 6 people, maybe 7, sometimes maybe 1. I over-enroll just a little bit, not so much that my boss gets angry at me. I was going to say something else, but doesn't get angry at me, right? And, of course, I can't over-enroll, like the classes for 25 people. I can't enroll 35. I wish I could, right? But there's no space, don't have materials, and probably even more importantly, somewhere one of my bosses would say, well, why don't you always have 35 people in there? And then I have to say, well, I only have equipment for 25, right? So I gotta be sort of professional that way and just have just the right number of students in lab. Okay, so 25, 26, something like that. All right, I also emailed out some lecture notes for you. Okay, and where are those things at? Oh, Bio 231, lecture notes. I gave them to you in a Word format so that if you do have a laptop, for instance, you can edit it right there. It's a little bit harder to do it in a PDF. So if you're not careful, you could actually change the information. So make sure you're typing just the good stuff and not like deleting the whole document. But you can go back and get it again. All right, so here is chapter 1. And I like to keep this in the frame on the left, and then on the frame on the right, I like to put illustrations. Right? So I need to go back and find out where those illustrations are. So it might be handy for you to bring your textbook in so that you have the pictures that I'm looking at available to you. And I have a really bad habit, and I don't know how to break it. I've tried for years. And that is, when I show you, for instance, this figure, it's going to go away from over here, the text file is going to come back. When I show you this figure right here, right, I never mention it in the audio file what figure it is in the textbook, which is unfortunate, because when you just listen to the audio tape, you might not know what figure I'm talking. Oh yeah, you can't get out that way. Right, and probably I got that bad habit. Oh, here it says, figure 1.4. I think that's 1.4. Okay, body planes. And then over here, I'll show you the text file, and I'll work back and forth like this. And sometimes I can show a DVD or something like that in one frame, and or maybe compare pictures, so it's kind of handy. Okay? Okay, so introduction, that's what we're going to cover today until 12:05. All right, I've got two terms here, anatomy and physiology. So you got to know the definition, but sort of have a working knowledge of what the distinction is, what the differences are between these two disciplines. Anatomy is the study of body structure, only structure. Well, we'd like to learn some other things along with structure, but what are the pieces that put your body together? We're interested in the human body here, gross structures, but also microscopic structures. We'll be interested in some chemicals, some organelles, things that we can't see, some things we can see with a microscope, but not with our naked eye. And the other discipline is physiology, right? And that's the study of functioning, how all of these pieces work together, right? And so I think you can appreciate that the physiology is determined by the anatomy. Anatomy is fundamental. You have to have the right structures before they will function properly. Like, for instance, what do I got here? I got a hand. I'm really proud of these hands. I got all five fingers, even though I grew up in a sheet metal and machine shop. Okay, so I've got a thumb, right? It's got a special motion. It can oppose my other four fingers, and I can grasp things very nicely, pencils and things like that. But what happens if I were to change the structure of my hand, like all of a sudden I'm missing a thumb? What happens to the function? The structure of the hand changed. There's no thumb. What about the function? Yeah, the function changed as well, right? So there is a relationship, and the function is determined by the anatomy. And if you change the anatomy, the function changes. And if you observe a change in function, what could you guess? If you can observe only a change in function, what could you guess produce that? A change in structure someplace, right? It could be a molecular structure or a gross structure, right? Chamber of the heart, for instance, or heart valve, right? So that's important to know. All right, so that's anatomy and physiology. We're going to look at a microscope this week in lab, and you're going to learn about the anatomy and physiology of a microscope. Does anybody know any anatomy of a microscope yet? What is anatomy of a microscope? Yeah. You raised your hand, right?
Oh,
iris. Yeah, iris diaphragm is a structure, and it helps adjust the amount of light, right? So you want to learn the structure of the microscope first before the function. Yeah, so the iris adjusts the amount of light that's going through a specimen. All right, what about some branches of anatomy? Well, gross anatomy is not like what it sounds. It doesn't mean disgusting. It just means big. Gross just means something that you can see with your naked eye, right? Like what? Hand, digits, which are fingers, right? Stomach, eyeball, that kind of things. Microscopic anatomy is what it says. You need a microscope to see it, like maybe some layers within the eye, right? Or layers within the intestine, maybe layers within the brain, right? You need a microscope for it. We call that microscopic anatomy. Developmental anatomy is the study of how your body changes over time. Like, for instance, from when you're born till when you're older, like 90 years old. If you've had any grandmas or grandpas at home and watched them as they got up into their 90s, you might notice that their nose kept growing. Ears keep growing. I don't know. Take a look sometime. All right. So our body does change over time. That's what we call developmental anatomy. Now, your body does change, of course, before you're born, during gestation. We call that embryology. But that's the study of the structure of a fetus, okay, or an embryo. And then surface anatomy, we don't spend a lot of time with surface anatomy, just a little bit, but it's really handy. That is the study of anatomy of things that you can observe or palpate, which means feel, that is which is on the surface of your body. But if you understand that landmark, then you understand what's happening underneath as well. Right, so surface anatomy is some landmarks that you can see on the surface of your body. Well, I'm thinking of a good example. Okay, surface anatomy. Oh, I can feel my xiphoid process right here, a certain bump right at the bottom of my sternum. Right, that's a really important point, landmark to know, surface anatomy. And those of you that are CPR certified know why. Why is that? Yeah, you got to, for instance, if somebody's heart is not beating, you can help beat their heart for them by doing chest compressions. It pumps a little bit of blood, but you don't want to do chest compressions on that xiphoid process because it will break off and bones are sharp. It will lacerate your liver, your lungs, maybe even go up into your heart, cut a hole in your heart. And then guess what? You're not helping that person anymore, right? And you want to help them. So xiphoid process, surface anatomy. Okay, some levels of structural and functional organization. We break this class down into organ systems, which is a really handy way to understand what's happening in the body. It's not cross-sectional anatomy where we cut somebody open and you got to know every little detail as we move from left to right and from front to back. That's another way to study anatomy. Sometime in your clinical life, you might have to understand anatomy to that degree, but not for this particular class. We're going to start off a little bit easier. Right? And of course, the human body is pretty complicated, so we're going to start with the small things. So whenever you have a big complicated problem, break it down into smaller problems, figure out a solution to a small problem, and then once you figure out all the solutions to small problems, add those answers up together so that you can see what the answer is to the big question that you're trying to answer. So we're going to start with chemicals. We're going to start with something very small. We're going to learn something about these things that have this plus charge. We call those ions or electrolytes, right? And then these symbols are the chemical symbols. Sometimes they come from Greek, like this right here. Na is, and Na has nothing, doesn't sound anything like how we say it. It is sodium. Yeah, Na is sodium. For physiology, you have to know what these chemicals stand for. But not so much in anatomy, but you have to become a little bit familiar with them. Okay? And Na just means natrium, which is sodium in Greek. And K, that's potassium, that's kalium in Greek. H2O. Yeah, okay, so you're familiar with a lot of this stuff. Your favorite molecule is going to be ATP. ATP stands for adenosine triphosphate. How many phosphates are on this molecule? Yeah, so a lot of times when you read a word, and this is really easy, when you read a word or a name, by using nomenclature, you'll know a lot about that structure, you'll know a lot about that chemical, and therefore you don't have to memorize everything. That's going to be a really handy thing in anatomy. All right, and if we put a bunch of these chemicals together, we get something that makes a little structure inside the cell. We call that an organelle. For instance, here's a couple examples. Nucleus. That's where your genetic information is stored. That's what determines the structure of your body, information on how to build your body, when it should be expressed, when certain pieces of your body should be built, and when you don't need to rebuild them anymore, right, is contained in the nucleus. So if the nucleus is responsible for determining the structure of your body, what else is it controlling? It's a little bit of a leap, but not too bad. It's also because it determines the structure of your body. It's determining how your body functions, right? So a lot of times people say, well, the nucleus just controls the function of a cell, and that's true. But why does it do that? Because it controls the shape of molecules and how many molecules are inside the cell, okay? We're going to look at what these functions are, rough endoplasmic reticulum, Golgi body. These are some organelles. Right, and if we put a bunch of these organelles together, we get something that we call a cell. All right, so a cell is made up of nucleus and cytoplasm and a cell membrane. And what's really interesting about this is that it is the basic unit of all life. It's the building block of life. I don't have any good pictures. Oh, yeah, I do. Right here. Okay. It's the building block of life. All right, so here we have, we're not going to start with atoms, right? But we put atoms together, we get molecules, put a bunch of molecules together, we get an organelle. Organelle has a specific function, which means it has a special shape, so you'll be able to recognize these by their shape on an illustration, and then with your knowledge of that organelle, you know what its function is. Put a whole bunch of different organelles together, you get a cell. This is the building block of life. So if you're wondering if something is alive or not, you have to look maybe underneath a microscope and see if it's a cell. And if it doesn't have any cell structure, then it's not alive. It's not a living organism. So the cell, this is probably important. This is a common theme that I use in the class. It's the structural and functional unit of life. Structural and functional unit of life, which means that it's the building block. We're going to talk a lot about structural and functional units. So that means if you know how a cell functions, you know pretty much how life happens, right? So that's really handy to know something about a cell. If we put a bunch of cells together and they all have the same shape, right, and they all have the same structure, they're going to produce the same kind of function, we call that a tissue, right? So a tissue is a whole group of cells that are performing the same function, which means it has the same shape, right, same structure. If we put a couple, and let's see, different kinds of tissues in your body. Not too complicated. There's only four kinds of tissues that make up your whole body. There's muscle, right, nervous tissue. Then there's tissue that covers your body. That's an epithelium. And then there's tissue that connects everything together in your body. We call that connective tissue, right? So those are all tissues. Okay, if we put a bunch of tissues together, like muscle tissue and nervous tissue and connective tissue, right, then we get a more complicated structure, and that becomes an organ. All right, so an organ is based on different kinds of tissues, different kinds of shapes of cells. And if we put a number of different kinds of organs together, for instance, like a blood vessel that I see right here, and then something that's mostly just muscle, like your heart, right, then we have the cardiac system interacting with the vessel system, right? And so that becomes an organ system. So we put different organs together, then we get the organ system level. All right, so, and that's really how we're going to look at this particular class, organ system. Like, we're going to look at cardiac system. We're going to look at nervous system. What else? Digestive system. Okay, on and on and on. Lymphatic system. And if we put all of these symptoms together, and fortunately, we're going to know what all those systems are about. And if we add them all together, what do we get? We get the organism. All right, so make sure that you can go up and down this hierarchy right here. Like I could ask you, what's the building block of a tissue? It is a cell. What's the building block of a cell? It's an organelle. Right? And what's the building block of an organelle? It's a molecule. What is the building block of an organ system? It is an organ. Yeah. All right. So become familiar with this a little bit so that you can go back and forth. Your book has some nice pictures of various organ systems. I know this is just the first day of class, so you can't appreciate everything that's on each of these pictures, but you should get a little understanding of what's happening. Okay. Here's the integumentary system. Has anyone ever heard of that term before? Integumentary. Okay, I looked real fast. Nobody raised their hand, or somebody did, but I didn't pay attention. Okay, this is a really important thing. The integumentary system, this is the largest organ in your body. And it's comprised of skin, hair, and nails. Right? So integumentary and skin pretty much are synonymous. But your skin has what? Has hair, has glands, has nails, for instance. Integumentary system. And it's something that covers your body. It has a lot of marvelous functions that we'll talk about when we get into the integumentary system that will be even on your first exam. All right, so when we say skin, integumentary, here is another organ system. All right, what do you see? I see bones. Bones belong to the skeletal system. All right, that's pretty easy. I see a bunch of muscles. You're going to know something about all these different muscles. That is the muscular system, brain, nerves. nervous system, for instance. All right, so all of this is pretty easy. This one might not be so easy, but here I see some glands that secrete hormones. So would anybody know what the system is that secretes hormones? That is the endocrine system. Okay, probably maybe everybody has heard of that one. Okay, and what another one? Cardiovascular. Has the heart and blood vessels. That's pretty easy to understand. So if I was going to test your knowledge of these various organ systems, which ones do you think I would pick? Would I show you a picture of a bunch of nerves and ask you? No, because that's too easy. Show you a bunch of muscles and ask you? No. I'd probably pick one you've never heard of before. Could you give me an example of an organ system you've never heard of before? The integumentary system. Yeah, I want you to know things that show me that you're actually learning good things in here. Okay? Okay. Different books have different organ systems. It all depends on how you lump things together. Like here it says cardiovascular. Some books break that into two chapters, two different organ systems. There's your integumentary system once again. Here is endocrine system and nervous system separated from each other, and they're really a lot different, but there are places where they're exactly the same, and you can't tell if it's nervous system or endocrine system. In that case, there are a lot of classes that study these right here and call it the neuroendocrine system because they control functions inside your body. And during the semester, I'll talk about some features of that neuroendocrine system. It's interesting to know where those things are exactly the same. All right, let's talk about some fundamentals of anatomy. And anatomic position. That's a good fundamental place to start, easiest place to start. So think of the human body, and think of a human body standing on their feet, straight up, not sitting down, no legs crossed or anything like that. And they're looking forward, not looking up, not looking to the side. And this is maybe anatomic position. I'm just really nice and relaxed, right? But I want you to pay attention to some detail. Got to pay attention to detail. My question is, am I in anatomic position? No. The definition is right here. And a lot of people recognize that. No, because my thumbs are pointing toward my middle, right? And you're going to learn what the proper term for that is in a second. In anatomic position, my palms have to face forward and my thumbs are pointing out to the side. This is anatomic position. It's important because if we tell you to move right or left on somebody's hand and it's like that, right, then you're going to be going backwards. You got to think of a hand like this, and then if you go right or left, you know what direction you're going in. Okay? So anatomic position is the reference from which we move around in the body. So yeah, this person is great, anatomic position. On this slide, it also shows some body planes, imaging planes or planes that can describe space. We live in a universe, or we can appreciate a universe in three spatial dimensions. Right? So if I have my Coke bottle right here, in order to know exactly where that Coke bottle is, how many numbers do I have to know? You only have to know three numbers. I have to know how far away it is from the front wall, right? How far away it is from a side wall, and what's one other number I have to know? How far away it is from the ceiling or how far away from the floor. And then I know exactly where this bottle is, right? So there's three dimensions, and here we have these three dimensions labeled for us. Here's a transverse plane, and this will separate the body into a top part and a bottom part. Sometimes we call that superior and inferior part. Transverse, superior from inferior. The plane doesn't have to be right here. It could be way down over here so that most of the person's body is up here and just a little bit of their toes is down below. Right? Or it could be up over here. Right? So you only see the top of their head. Right, and the rest of their body. So this can slide up and down, but it will still be called a transverse plane. Next one, this is a good one. We'll use this one a lot. This is what we call the sagittal plane. I just noticed it isn't labeled like that. It's also called the median plane, more commonly sagittal. It is on this slide, but it's been modified. It's called mid-sagittal. Okay. So a sagittal or median plane will separate the body how? From top to bottom? No, from right to left. Okay, and that will be what we call a sagittal plane. If it is a plane, a sagittal plane, right smack in the middle of somebody's body, like going right down, right between their eyes, right through the tip of their nose, between their two front teeth, through the belly button, all the way down, that's what we call a mid-sagittal plane. Mid-sagittal is a special case of sagittal, right? Just a special case. And then one last plane, this is the third one, here's the frontal. So if we're to image through the body and be able to look on the inside from behind or from in front, right, that would be the frontal plane. So this would separate the body from, front to back. We would call that anterior and posterior. Right and left are proper anatomic terms. Front and back are not. Okay, top and bottom are not, but we'll get to that today. All right, so that's anatomic position, or body planes. If there is a sagittal plane that's away from that center line, away from a mid-sagittal, we call that a parasagittal. Usually I don't get so wordy. I just usually call that sagittal. Another name for transverse sometimes is called a cross-section. Here we have frontal or coronal. So here we have frontal plane. The book probably could put that, well, should put coronal here as well. A lot of times in anatomy, a item or structure will have more than one name. Right? That's just the way it goes. And in this particular case, this plane is called frontal and coronal because there was a company that made a machine that could maybe take an x-ray in this plane, and they call it the frontal plane. And then another company came along, made a little bit improved x-ray machine, makes that same image through this plane. But they can't use frontal plane because it is copyrighted. Right, they can't use it without paying royalties to the first couple, so they got to come up with another name. So they call it coronal. So that's sometimes how this stuff happens. Right? Other times, it's just because at the same time, people in different parts of the world discover the same kind of thing. So it all depends. But that's not. And on a test, like a practicum, you only have to tell me one correct name. You don't have to tell me all the possible correct names. Right? So one correct name is fine. You don't, and nobody knows all the correct names. I don't think that's a very difficult, once you get familiar with it, I don't think that's very difficult to appreciate because I know you all have more than one name, right? And you've probably been called different names at different times even, right? So just be aware that some anatomical structure, no, believe it or not, guess what some people use as my name? Honey. Yeah, I know. You don't believe that. Okay. So certain structures can have more than one name. And we'll try to use these in class. All right. Directional terms. Body planes. I sure would like to use anterior, posterior, all that kind of stuff. All right. Well, we'll define them here. Directional terms. Let's just stay with this person. I think your textbook has some arrows that show, that connotate motion. Okay, anterior, posterior. Well, the anterior of a person, right, is the front. The posterior is the back. And there's also two other words that mean exactly the same thing, at least in humans, and that is ventral and dorsal. When we go later on in anatomy and lab, we'll use maybe ventral and dorsal. Ventral is the same thing as anterior. Dorsal is the same thing as posterior. And in your extra credit drawing today in lab, that's how those body cavities are organized, ventral and dorsal instead of anterior or posterior. But if you wrote down anterior or posterior, I couldn't take off because those are exactly proper terms, right? Okay. Okay, so we would use these in a certain sense. How would you describe the location in terms of this first pair right here? Where is the nose compared to the ear? The nose is anterior to the ear. Yeah, so usually we use two structures to give the reference of what direction we're moving in. Superior, inferior, right? Superior just means above, inferior means below, has no other connotation than that. We use that term a lot. Cranial and caudal. This is kind of funny. It's used sometimes in people to describe things, but it's much better for four-legged animals. Cranial means toward the head, and caudal means toward the tail. Right, so cranial sort of means superior, caudal sort of means inferior, but it makes a whole lot more sense in a four-legged animal. Think of a fetal pig. Think of a pig that you're going to dissect. They're a four-legged animal. All right, and so they're anterior, is their head, right, their nose, their posterior is their tail, okay? But what is our stomach? Our stomach is anterior, but is the stomach anterior on a pig? No, it's underneath, right? So it's inferior. So some of these directions change just a little bit. You'll become familiar with that as we go. Cranial toward the head, caudal toward the tail. We can use it. We don't really have a tail. All right, medial and lateral. Okay, and again, we're going to look at two different structures. Medial means that a structure is closer to this midline in the body compared to another one. So for instance, I have an elbow right here and a shoulder. Let's use elbow and belly button. And the belly button is right smack on the midline. So we say the elbow is, right, we can say farther to the side, but we're going to say it is lateral, right? Elbow is lateral. I don't think anybody would use that exactly like that. Or how about little finger compared to the thumb? The little finger is what compared to the thumb? The little finger is closer to this midline, so the little finger, right, is medial compared to the thumb. Thumb is lateral. So if you're going to describe anatomic position, which way do the thumbs face or point? Medially? Superior? Laterally. Exactly right. Okay? All right. So we use these a lot. Proximal and distal. When you use proximal and distal, you want to think about things that are connected to each other. Connected to each other from some central location in the body. Like, for instance, if it's a blood vessel from the heart. So here's the heart. It is pumping blood through a blood vessel that moves up underneath the shoulder, through the arm, through the forearm, down into the hand. Right, so all those vessels are connected. Different body regions, it has a different name, but it's exactly the same vessel. So we would say that the part of the blood vessel that is closest to the heart is the proximal part compared to another part which is farther away. Right, so the palmar arches compared to the brachial artery. So these down here are what, proximal or distal compared to ones that are in the arm? They are distal. Yeah, so there's a bunch of blood vessels right here. They form these little arches, right? They're distal compared to the big blood vessel that's in your arm, right? So these down here are distal. Or we could say that the brachial artery is what compared to these down here in the wrist? Yeah, proximal. You could just flip them around. And you know what? Probably a lot of you have realized this already, but didn't know you knew this, because when we want to count somebody's heartbeat, where do we like to see that their heart is beating and we can count like the number of beats per minute? Like in somebody's wrist. Okay? So I see a nice artery right there. It's named after the bone that's right underneath it. That bone is the radius. Sometimes they call it a radial pulse, but more frequently, okay, this pulse right here, since it's far away from your heart, people call this a distal pulse, right? And then a nice central pulse will be up closer to the heart, yeah. Okay. Or maybe you need to monitor somebody's pulse in their ankle. That would be another place for a distal pulse measurement. Superficial and deep. We'll use this a lot. Superficial has no other connotation other than meaning more close, more on the surface. It's the surface of an organ or a structure. Deep means that it's a part of an organ that is underneath the superficial part. It's deeper inside. I don't know if I described that, but superficial, surface. Deep means inside. And we're going to look at almost all organs have a superficial part that we call the cortex, right? And they have a deep part that we call the medulla. So we're going to use cortex a bunch. We're going to use medulla. And cortex sort of means superficial. Medulla means deep. Body planes. Wow, we looked at body planes already. Body regions. Let's see what we have for body regions. Oh, body regions. Good interactive exercises for these body regions. All right, so here is some proper terminology. Well, you got head, neck, trunk, okay, limbs. All right, so this center right here, this is the trunk. But these over here, we call these limbs or appendages. Upper appendage, lower appendage. We don't really want to say arm for the following reason. Okay, so here's my upper appendage, right? All right. What is the name of this structure between my shoulder and my elbow? It's a part of my upper appendage. This is what you call your arm. All right, here's your arm. Here's your arm, right? And between your elbow and your wrist, what do we call that? I would like to call that an arm, but it's not my arm because here's my arm. That is my forearm. All right, so you have to learn the terminology just a little bit. It's got some other associated names. All right, and then here's my lower appendage. The name of between my hip and my knee is, my upper appendage was arm, but here is thigh. Yeah, hip and knee, thigh, and then between my knee and my ankle is my leg. It's not fore thigh, like forearm. Okay, people agreed on that. Okay, body cavities. That's pretty easy to understand. You're actually going to draw these from memory, okay, in lab. Maybe I'll go over them just a little bit in a second. But this right here is an exam figure that you'll see in the exam study guide, picture from your book. And you should know these different regions, right? So this is in the abdominal, near the abdominal cavity, but this is the umbilical region. It's around your belly button. What are some other things? Cervical is neck, is in your neck. Okay, oral, around your mouth, that's an oral. Nasal, around your nose. Optic or orbital, around your eye. And here's something missing in your book, but probably should be there. Let me look at this slide. Ah, no, it's on the back over here. Here is a line pointing to an ear. And what does that say? Otic. All right, so otic and optic are kind of easy to mix up, but always remember that otic refers to your ear and optic refers to your eye. So if you're using an otoscope, what are you using? To look at somebody's eye or somebody's ear with an otoscope? Ear. Yeah, that's where those things come from. All right, the reason why it's really important to know these different regions is because sometimes we use these regions to name blood vessels or nerves or muscles. So if you know these things, you know a million things about anatomy already and other areas of anatomy. So this is a good foundation. Like brachial is the arm right here. There's a brachial nerve, brachial artery, brachial vein, and everybody knows exactly where they are, right? Because they can use this as a reference. Okay. All right. Well, let's review planes for just a second. I've got a couple minutes left. Here is a really fancy image with some artificial color coding. I see a shoulder here, shoulder over here, and a heart right in the middle, and a neck above, some abdominal organs down below it. What imaging plane is this? What plane through the body is this? Separating what? Anterior from posterior. So that is a frontal plane or coronal, right? All right. What is this plane? Separates superior from inferior. That's a transverse plane. And this is what we would call cross-sectional anatomy. For instance, if you had to know what all these organ structures are, we don't do that in this class. But eventually that might be important to you. Like if somebody gets a gunshot wound from this angle over here, you should know what organs are being damaged. Be able to trace that line through somebody's body. All right, transverse. And then here is, here's somebody's anterior part, posterior part over here, vertebral column. So here's a sagittal, and it looks pretty much to me like right on midline. And so this would be a mid-sagittal plane. But sagittal certainly would be really good. All right, so last thing, I usually send a sign-in sheet around, but today it's just too complicated. But eventually I'll send a sign-in sheet around at the beginning of class. Always sign the sign-in sheet so I know you're here. That's your receipt that you're in class. If you don't sign it, then I think you're not in class. So let's just practice this. Okay, what plane is this? Transverse. What is this? Nice. What's this? Okay, what's this one? Frontal or coronal, right? What's this one? And this one? Sagittal. Yeah, frontal. Okay, so I could do that like really fast. Like, what's this? What's that? What's that? So I want you to practice so that you know exactly what that is when you're doing it that fast. I don't have a video. I should make a video of everybody doing that in class.